I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. Sorry for a couple minutes of delay, the tech. But here we are, the week of Purim. And Purim is always a busy day, a day when there's so much going on. I think over the years, each year Purim potentially could get busier and busier with so much going on in communities. It's a very highly celebrated Chag. And this year, when Purim comes out on a Friday, it makes it all the more challenging. How is it that we pack it all into one day? On a regular year, it's hard to pack everything into Purim. Kol Shekein, a year like this, where Purim comes on a Friday, and there's a lot to do, and Hayom Katzar, Hamalacha Meruba. So today's shiur, I would like to focus on, it's entitled Purim on a Friday, Halachic Options for a Frenzy Day. And what I'd like to do today is put forth in front of our audience a few different options of how to go about observing the day of Purim and really to establish a plan today, over the next few days, of how we're all going to celebrate Purim. I think the Lashon Chazal say, Mishitarach be'erev Shabbos, Yochel be'Shabbos. If you plan ahead, Chazal is talking really about Olam Haba, Olam Haza. If you plan ahead, you'll taste the rewards on Shabbos, which is Olam Haba. But in a practical sense, it always applies every week for Shabbos. But certainly this week, when Purim comes out on Friday, we want to make sure that we observe Purim to the best of our abilities, and at the same time, keep Shabbos to the best of our abilities. The balance between the two, Purim and Shabbos, is not an easy balance to have. I know one of the wine companies always advertises their wine as perfectly balanced. Well, you might need that type of wine for this year to keep your Purim and your Shabbos perfectly balanced. Now, the night of Purim, which this year is Thursday night, that should be no different than any other year. Pashtos, right? You have Mikra Megillah after Atinus, and that, for the most part, is your mitzvah of the night. To listen to Mikra Megillah. There might be a small inyan to be marba, a little bit besuda. And there are some places that have mesibos, don't have mesibos. Learning, COVID-friendly. I hate to think COVID-unfriendly. But, okay, the night is not such a big deal this year. The challenge is the day of Purim. The day of Purim, we have four mitzvahs. There's again the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. There's the mitzvah of Matanos Lev Yonim, the Shloach Manos, and finally the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. All those four are important mitzvahs, mitzvahs Drabanan, mitzvahs in Divrei Kabbalah, that one has to keep. And really, you know, anyone knows that studies time management. You have to have your priorities. You can't do everything. We're only human. We're battling against the clock. You know, the buzzer's going to hit. There's no overtime. You know, we're coming sit to Pesach. You know, so there too, you really have to eat avikomen. The buzzer goes off echatzos. So there we know there's a trick. There's a halachic idea of the Avnei Nezer, of how you can extend into overtime by utilizing this idea of the Avnei Nezer. There ain't no overtime for Purim, at least we'll see. Some people think there is, but there is no overtime for Purim. You have to get everything in, otherwise we'll all turn back into pumpkins. So we have to plan ahead today, next few days, how we're going to have our Purim this year. Now, really strategically, the question is, where do you begin the day? A lot of times when you're scheduling something, do you schedule forward? Okay, we'll start with this, and then we'll go to there, which obviously things lower down on your list, you may not get to in the way you'd want to. Alternatively, you could build back better. You could start from the end and work your way back. Okay, if I have to be here at this point, what happens to everything else? You know, l'havdol, you have a chasana. So the chasana is starting at this time. Everything else has to be put back before that. You have to figure out how to fit in all your appointments the day of the wedding before the starting point of the wedding. The problem sometimes is when people go the other way. They start all the appointments the day of the wedding, and the wedding gets delayed, gets schlepped, and the guests definitely don't like that one. So strategically, I think the smartest way we're going to have to plan our Purim is really backwards. The first question I think we're going to have to answer this year is, when are we having our Sudas Purim? After we answer that question, then we could see how much time there is for everything else. Why am I telling you we're starting from the Sudas Purim? Why don't we go from the beginning? Mikra Megillah, Matan Tzedakah, Mishloach Manos. So let me just, before we even get into the nitty-gritty of the halacha, you know, Purim, as we said, is a challenging day. Probably what makes it more challenging is the way we live life in our society. We sometimes overemphasize things which shouldn't be on the top of the totem pole. Actually, the Mishnah Berurah spells out the halacha, and I've mentioned this in the past, but it's always kedai to chazer. What are we supposed to be spending most of our money on? You can spend a lot of money on Mishloach Manos, depending how big your list is, how fancy your Mishloach Manos are. Your themed costumes are probably part of that budget. And before you know it, people are spending a lot of money on Mishloach Manos. Sudas Purim, you have the best meats, the best wines, the best everything. And that could also rack up a big bill. So what do you do with that? The Mishnah Berurah says the best thing you really should spend your money on, Matan Tzedakah, is giving money to the poor. That's really where our focus should be. And in a certain sense, this year, it might be even more important. Because in a lot of communities, they've curtailed, they've outlawed, you know, Bachurim, people going from house to house on Purim due to COVID. Fears, people just going around. It's probably not a good way. Chas HaShalom, there is a spreading. If a person going around collecting is going from house to house, it's unfortunately an easy way to spread things. And many communities already discourage that or even blankly outlaw that. So there's all the more reason. Look, you can still give tzedakah, even though it's not knocking on your door. Nowadays there are many online you could give and many other means and ways. And really, most of that giving could be done, we'll talk about that later, but could be done before Purim, thus, for it to be given out on Purim. You can swipe your credit card today, and that will work, pashtus, for Purim. So as long as it's given out, you have your shidduch giving it out on Purim. So that works. So really, Matan Tzedakah you can do ahead of time. Mishloach Manos, the mitzvah is Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eu, one Mishloach Manos. Okay, that's one for you, maybe one for your family, each child, wife. Okay, but that's not necessarily an all-day affair of giving out to your entire community Mishloach Manos. So there is room to scale back on Mishloach Manos, especially this year, due to Purim constraints. besides even talking about COVID constraints. The Suras Purim, that has, as we'll soon see, very specific halachas. And therefore, that's where I'm going to begin the day. The focus of the day, first question we're going to have to answer, is when are we having our Suras Purim? After we deal with that answer, feel sufficient to know when we're going to do our Suras Purim, then we'll plan the rest of the day around it. Now, how many options are there when to do the Suras Purim? People have told me of, this topic that I'm giving sharing today is a very, very popular topic, and the Rabbanim, Shirim all around are discussing this, and I've heard different amount of choices. Linnaeus Deity, what I've seen, spoken to people, there seems to be three options. Okay? Not one, not two, not four, three options. And we'll go through those options in depth. Just to list them off, one option, and don't choose your option until we go through them in depth. But choice A is to do your Suda in the morning. In the morning, anytime in the morning, after you daven, after you hear Megillah, but anytime in the morning, you can have breakfast, Purim Suda, really we'll talk about it before Chatzos, that's option A. Option B is to have it in the afternoon. Obviously, with Shabbos coming, the earlier the better, but it could be done perhaps in the afternoon, maybe even after a person davens mincha, like probably what is the common modern day time when people have sudas in the afternoon after they daven in the early mincha. And option three is to do the Purim Suda to start before Shabbos and to flow into Shabbos with your Purim Suda. So your Purim Suda is going to go directly into your Shabbos Suda. Those are the three options that we're going to go through today. Now, to begin, Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Reish Sadi Hei, you have this, Sif Beis. I'm going to read a little bit earlier than what I put on the sheets. The Ramah writes, "Umaspal mincha tchila ba'oda yom gadol, idav mincha first, v'rova suda tzricha lios biyom." Really, your suda every year, the majority of it should still be during the daytime. The lo k'mo shenagim mahaslo samuch ha'erev, v'ikar suda hulel tesvav. Very important point, which unfortunately people make mistakes, especially in our, forget about this year, Purim's on Friday. On a regular year, people are so busy with the Mishloach Manos, till they sit down at their Purim Suda, sometimes a situation like that will be, that you end up sitting down to a Suda and it's already past Shkia. One shouldn't do that. Really, as the Ramah writes, that you're supposed to start before Shkia and Iker Suda, most of the Suda, the main part, you should hit the main before Shkia. That's an important halacha for every year Purim, Chol Shekein, this year when it's a busy Friday afternoon. The Ramah writes, "Upshechol Purim biyom shishi." This is read on your sheets. When Purim comes out on a Friday, "Yase hasuda b'shachris." You make the suda b'shachris. Doesn't mean at shachris for you drunk fellows. No, it means in the morning. Mishum kavod Shabbos, because of kavod Shabbos. So it's a beferish of Ramah. Ramah talks about this, that one should make a suda in the morning. Now, let me just elaborate on this concept. Is this a special kula to make in the morning? Look at the Ramah writes weiter. And again, it's not in the sheets. Misha rosalia asos atami b'shachar, asos b'yado. If a person wants to make every year, well, try it this year. You do an early Purim Suda, you like it. It's a geschmack day when you have the Suda in the morning. Perfect. You can do that every year. In fact, Mishnah Berurah brings down earlier from Ashla. That the person who makes his Suda in the morning, that's the best time to do it. Shlod bases on, he assumes that Esther Suda was in the morning, and part of our Suda is Zecher to Esther Suda. Okay? That is an idea you can do every year, not just this year. You can make the Suda in the morning. Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes, what does it mean doing a Suda in the morning? He writes, "Hainu kodem chatzos hayom lechachila." This is the Farish there on the sheets. A person should make the Suda ideally before chatzos, before midday. Can't tell you the New York time, man, look it up. But here in Florida, chatzos is a little bit after 12:30. So one cannot, according to lechachila, according to the Mishnah Berurah, one should be making his Suda before Chatzos. That's pretty early. You're going to make a Suda before Chatzos, you make a Suda 11:30, 12, start a Suda 12 o'clock. Yeah, probably never had a Purim Suda that early in the morning. But Zakt, Lechavitzchayim, Lechachila, that is one when should have a Suda. I also saw that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes this, that when Purim comes out on the Friday, the Medaktikim, those who want to be Medaktik and Halacha, will have their Suda in the morning before Chatzos. And I spoke to a Posik on the topic, and, you know, everyone has their agenda. Everyone has, you know, I want to see my Purim be like this, be like that. I brought up all the issues to the Posik, and the Posik, it was like, hey, if you want to do things in the most ideal way, the way to do things is to have the Suda exactly the way the Mishnah Berurah writes it, based on the Ramah, that the Suda should be before Chatzos. So if Chatzos is 12:30, you can start 12 o'clock, that's good. But that would be the way to do it, to start after Chatzos, after Mincha, would not be the ideal. So that is the first option, and I believe most poskim will say the ideal option. Option number two is a little cryptic. You saw the Ramah, it only gives one option, Shachas. You saw the Mishnah Berurah, Lechachila Kodem Chatzos. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he writes that Ayin B'Yara Frayim, Maril. Look in the Yad Ephraim when he quotes in Maril. The Chafetz Chaim doesn't even spell it out. He just gives you another Maramakal. Check out this Maramakal. I think that itself already is a deal, the fact that the Chafetz Chaim doesn't spell it out. The second option, which the Maril says, is one is allowed to make a Suda on Erev Shabbos, of Purim, even up to the 10th hour of the day, that would also be okay. So if Chatzos is the 6th hour, practically speaking, again, these are, when we talk about hours, we're talking about Shol Zmanios, halachic hours, but that means you have a significant amount of time post Chatzos to start and have your Suda. I would bet that this is ipso facto. Ipso facto, will be probably what a lot of people end up doing in Klal Yisrael. Look, the Mishnah Berurah brings a Maariv Makom to it. It is a tzad in halacha. I found Chaim Kanievsky, when he summarizes this Mishnah Berurah, he quotes, you know, this idea of Maariv, and he clearly writes that this is b'di'evad. This is not l'chachila. It's a way to do it. It's a way to do it, but not the ideal. Now, I would add one interesting psak, which I found, which is not so well known. They have quoted from Rav Moshe Feinstein. I found this in the back of the Sefer Shmeitz of the Moshe. It's from a Torah journal years ago. That Rav Moshe was asked the following scenario. Look, a person could have the Sudas Purim before Chatzos, Mekayim, the ideal, the Ramah says, this year, but he won't have anyone else by the Suda. His guests could only come later. So Zot Rav Moshe, since the idea of the Sudas Purim, there's Mishnah Berurah himself brings, right? Quoting from the Shlah, Sheikabishan Sebeso the Chaverov, the Efshel of Sumer Karai Biyachet. You're not going to be able to do the Sumer properly if you're just alone. Now, I'm saying this with a caveat this year with Corona restrictions. I believe in Eretz Yisrael, they only allow nuclear families. So don't say that the Mishnah Berurah is. Look, this is when I assume it's able to be done. And people have to be careful with social distancing. And you can't necessarily have the invite list by your Suda this year as you have every year. Okay, if you're on the same boat, you're all post-antibodies, post-vaccine, okay, good. But the situation, people are not yet exposed and there is some danger. You know, this is a cheshbon. But at the same time, a perm Suda celebrated with more people, or here, let me specify the case. The case of Rav Moshe was a person being alone versus waiting and having more people. So Rav Moshe said the person could wait. I don't know you can extrapolate, I have a Suda, I have some people. I could get more people if I make the Suda later. That's not so poshut. Rav Moshe did not talk specifically about that case. Is Yesh Lachalik. There's a difference. How many people do you need? You know, people thought before COVID that I could only celebrate a wedding with 500 people. Post-COVID, we realized that, you know what? You could celebrate a wedding with just your family there. And look, so do by Purim. So there is this other idea, second option, of having the Suda up until the 10th hour of the day. So practically speaking this year, you can't have the Suda Samach once the Zman Mincha comes. And it's probably, if you're going to have it in the afternoon, it's probably Kedai Davin Mincha beforehand. Because otherwise, who knows the person will be sober to be able to Davin Mincha before Shkia. So let's say here in Florida, the earliest you could Davin Mincha is a little bit after 1. So easily, you could sit down to the Suda by 1:30. That was probably option 2. 1:30 Suda. Again, ideally, option 1 is a chachila. Option 2, Chaim Kanievsky calls that b'di'evad. And here comes option number 3. As I'm giving the share, I'm getting all these, you know, Rebbe, you know, all the yeshiva bachrim love option number 3. But sorry, guys, the yeshiva's not choosing that one. And we'll go through. It's greater Kovet Shabbos. We'll get there. Option 3 is, in halachic terms, called Pares Mapa. Literally means spreading of a cover. What's this about? It's actually a cute tie-in to a halacha that we said last week of covering the challah, you know, for Kiddush. But the halachas of Paras Mapa you can find in your sheets. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch or Chaim, Simin Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Dalet. Okay, the Machaber there is talking about a case of where a person started a Suda, let's assume the Heter, you know, while it's still daytime on Friday afternoon. And now it's Shabbos. So I'll read the halacha in the Machaber. Again, this is Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Dalet. He says, Tzarech lahafsik, you have to stop the Suda now that it's getting dark, now it's getting nighttime and it's Shabbos. Sheparish mapa, you put a cover over the food. Umekadesh, and now you make Kiddush. Vimhayashosa yayin tchila, it sounds like that. If you're eating, if you're ready with drinking wine beforehand, which will in the stomach be on the perm day. Fascinating. You'll make Kiddush without the bracha on wine. It seems from this halacha, or Moshe actually proves this, that Kiddush, the gofen you're making, is not really essential to Kiddush. You can make Kiddush without the Baruch Priya gofen. You made the Baruch Priya gofen beforehand. So you make Kiddush, you paris mapa, you make Kiddush, and then you have your Shabbos Suda. The Mishnah Berurah over there explains what's this whole idea of covering up the food, what's the essence of it. Sheparis mapa, you spread out this cover, lechasas apas, to cover your bread, after a kiddush, until after you recite kiddush, the afakach yisirenu, and then you can remove this cover. This is a symbolic act to show a hefsek, there's a difference. Till now we were having a suda for Purim, maybe for a pigeon on Ben, maybe for a bris on a Friday afternoon, but now it's going to be suda Shabbos, right? So you unveil the new suda Shabbos. And he says, even in case of Mol Yosheva Dain Lachol, Gamkin Dinachi, Tzarech Priestess Mapa Beis HaKiddush. Okay. Now, now, this idea, which again is a very popular idea amongst yeshiva guys, because for them, it sounds like, wow, what an exciting thing. I can have my Purim Suda straight into my Shabbos Suda. It's going to be Lavadek. What was Shlomo Carbach saying? Higher and higher. Yeah. But let me go through all the intricacies in halacha that such a third option gives you. And we'll see how simple such an idea is to pull off. So we already said step one, you have to cover the challah by Shabbos. Maybe assuming this case, you know, let's say you started your Suda in Florida, she is what, 6:20. So let's say you start your Suda at 5:00. So you start having the Suda right now for Purim, then come Shkia time, you gotta stop. Shabbos is coming. So cover up the table, cover up the food. You go say Kabbal Shabbos, Mamash a Karbach, Kabbal Shabbos. Then you come sit down, get by the meal, you say Kiddush. It's questionable when you daven Ma'ariv. Do you daven Ma'ariv before, after? If you're in the middle of a meal and you're drunk, you cannot daven Shmona Esrei, you can't be Omen of Ne'amal, so now will not be the right time to daven Ma'ariv. You'll have to wait till later. Okay, Ma'ariv is a time, you know, is a tefillah that you could daven later. So, right, you could, right, person knows that after Makabel Shabbos, technically you can have the Suda Shabbos. You don't have to daven Maariv before you have the Suda Shabbos. This is actually an interesting trick. Sometimes by a person makes an early Shabbos, you daven Mincha, do Makabel Shabbos, have a Suda, and then make it to Shul for the late Maariv minyan. You know, for the regular Shabbos minyan. You could do that. Now, we already said you don't make Hagefen in Kiddush due to the fact you Mustama already made Hagefen drinking your wine. Now, you have to be careful. Classically, people are so used to making Kiddush. They say, Bari Bri Hagefen. That's Bracha Latala, Bracha Shein Tzricha, in the middle of a meal. You had wine. So, you should not make a Bari Bri Hagefen. What about Hamotzi? I also seemingly wash. You're supposed to wash for your Purim Suda. So what are you supposed to do with the motzi? So it's a machlokes. The Mechaber here really brings two shitas, whether you make a hamotzi or not. The Chafetz Chaim concludes, since it's a suffik in a bracha, we hold suffik brachas l'hakon, and you don't make hamotzi. So again, but you have to have lacha mishnah, and like every other Shabbos, and cut your challah. So again, another scenario, you get up there, bird shows, and just falls out the mouth of the bracha. No, no, no. Chavetz Chaim says, you're going to make Kiddush without Hagefen. You're going to make Hamotzi without a bracha of Hamotzi. You just cut up your challahs. Next halacha, what do you do for benching? After this whole crazy Suda, Purim, Shabbos concludes. Obviously, you should have special foods, dafka for Shabbos. It shouldn't just be the leftovers from your Purim Suda are for your Shabbos Suda. No, no, no. You should make special dishes for your Shabbos Suda. After those, your whole Suda is finished, now you have to bench. Okay? But the level to bench is less than the level of what do you do for benching? What do you do? So there are some shitas that say you're going to say it's Shabbos, you're going to say we're saying benching, but you also say Al Nisim because you never benched from your Purim Suda. You'll ask, why can't I just bench, you know, when Shkia comes? I guess Pashas, you probably shouldn't because you're having another Suda right away. Only Hefsik is a Paras Mappa, maybe a Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay, so I say you can bench before. So there are some that say that one could recite in that benching Al Nisan and Ritzeh. But the Mishnah Berurah, however, holds. I know it's Purim. I know it's Adol Yada min Arar Haman to Baruch Mordechai. But it shouldn't be Adol Yada what today is. Is today Shabbos? Is today Purim? If you're going to be saying Ritzeh for Shabbos and Al Nisim for Friday Purim, that's confusing, that's crazy, that's a stira, that's tarti nesasri. And therefore the Chafetz Chaim says, you do not recite Al Nisim. I guess you've lost your Al Nisim along the way. Perhaps with other things too. So these are just some of the somewhat complicated halachas to pull off this mappa, this third version. For the record, I do know of some people that do this. I heard from somebody that pretty good source that Rabbi Aaron Cutler did this one year when Purim came out on a Friday. Now, Purim coming out on a Friday is a very infrequent occurrence. The last time it happened here in America was 2008. It was the last time we had Purim on a Friday. Before that was just a few years earlier, I think 2005. But Lamaisa, Purim on a Friday is a very infrequent occurrence, but there were some Gedolim, were some people that would do this on, this would be the way they observe Purim. Rabbi Shapiro, Ephraim Shapiro just married off his daughter the other night at the Chasson, they gave out a little kuntres from the Chasson. So the Chasson said that he was in Yerushalayim in Tavshin Ayin Tes, just a couple of years ago, and there in Yerushalayim it fell out that Purim was on Friday, and he was by his one of his rebbeim was very makbid and insisted on doing this third option of Matas Marpa. Okay, he also wrote there that there are strong kol koreis all over Yerushalayim that one should not do option three. Rabosai, what do they have against option three? So besides the complications that we said and just pulling it off halachically, there also is a good fear that if a person really is shikar from Purim into Shabbos, that Chas Hashem could lead to be Mechal Shabbos. The Chafetz Chaim himself in Hilchos Purim talks strongly about that a person has to be very careful when one's drunk, that they shouldn't reach a state where they're mevatel mitzvah and amitzos, any mitzvos involved in Purim. So a person has to be careful with that. Kol Shekein this year, if Purim's coming out on the Shabbos, really any time a person has a Suda, depends how drunk a person is, you don't want a Chas Hashem be Mechal Shabbos. That would be the worst. And the greatest possibility of a person being Mechal Shabbos probably is if you have this drunken, if you have this Suda into Shabbos. So that's why the Poskim and Eretz Yisrael were very strong signing on this Kol Kore that one should not do this option. Really, you know, this option is not brought, the Chafetz Chaim doesn't bring this at all in Hilchos Purim. And it's brought in Hilchos Kiddush, you know, but it's not so poshut that this is recommended. Some people say to begin with, for sure, this is a B'diavad type idea. And there's also shadows of Kavod Shabbos, so what are you going to be dressed in? You know, you're going from your Purim Suda to Shabbos. I see many people dressed in their Purim Sudas. That's not the way I would expect a person to be dressed for Shabbos. We could clear Shlei Davim Mincha that way, but definitely not for Kavod Shabbos. And thus, ideally, what we would say here is, look, there's three options. The Mishnah Berurah clearly brings the first option, L'chachila. He alludes to, quotes the Maror Makom for the second option of doing it after Chatzos, before 10 hours of the day, okay? That's another option. And the third option, this Matas Mapa, which the Mishnah Berurah doesn't talk about at all, directly over here in Hilchos Purim, is a third option, but could run into a lot of problems, and there are those that do it, and if that's your Masorah, if that's your Psak, Ma Tovu Ma Nayim, but to recommend it is very hard to say, because the odds of everything working out perfectly doesn't sound so simple, and it could definitely could come to take away from Kavod Shabbos. I see somebody, you know, this is the Harvey joke. He says, can you be Yotzi all Shitas by having three Sudas? So, no. You got to pick one of these three options. So, now let's walk it back. If you picked option three, where you're going to do your Suda 5 o'clock and roll into Shabbos, okay? What's the difference? Friday Purim from every year Purim. You have a full day. You can wake up late. Hear Megillah at 10 o'clock in the morning. Go give out Mishloach Manos, waltz around the whole day, and you're rolling to your Purim Suda at 5 o'clock. Okay? I guess you'll have a lot of time for everything else Purim if you pick that option. Option one, on the other hand, if you're going to try to do your Purim Suda by Chatzos, by midday, so then Pashas, that means you're having a Purim Suda at 12 o'clock in the morning, and that means you're going to have to get up quite early to daven. Nates Minyan this year are quite popular. You daven Nates, you daven early, you hear Megillah early, you give out your Mishloach Manos early. Hopefully there's an else to learn Torah before the Suda, you learn Torah morning, and then you sit down 12 o'clock to the Suda. That is not going to be an easy thing to do, and I'll get to in a moment some additional ideas of how to make that happen. But Lamaisa, this idea of having a Suda, the best way to do the Suda is have it before Chatzos, means you're going to have to hurry the first part of the day. The middle option, which I practically assume is going to be adopted by a lot of people, is, okay, a little bit in between, compromise. Start your Suda 132, something like that. Again, the later you get, the more problematic it could be. But you start your Suda after Chatzos, after Mincha, let's say. So then you have half a day when you could wake up, daven, Mikra Megillah, and Mishloach Manos. Now, one thing I'd like to add, you know, we already mentioned that the Ikar Mitzvah Mishloach Manos is one Mishloach Manos per person, okay? So you give, if your children give, your wife give. But there's a very interesting Aruch HaShulchan. What happens if I send Mishloach Manos before Purim? Is that a chop? We already said, look, I could swipe today my Matanis Avionim. All I am is I'm giving money to some organization, some person, and they're going to give it out. The Matanis Avionim, the legitimate ones, all say it's to be given out on Purim. So great. I'll do it today. They're going to be my shliach. They're giving it out on Purim. I did the mitzvah. So I'll have to spend quote-unquote, time on Purim Day, giving out Matanos Avionim, and do it ahead of time. Could I send out my Mishloach Manos ahead of time? Look, I'll send it all in the mail. I'll hire some guy to deliver it. What do you say? Can I give it out before Purim? Or even, can I give it out the night? You know, I have no time the next morning. I'll go around the night of Purim putting packages by people's doors. Does that work? So I have on the bottom of the sheet, the Aruch HaShulchan, Tuf Rei Tzadi Hei Sif Yitzayin. Yesh L'Stapeh, Kishasholach Manos L'Re'eyu, Shivam Rechikin, Kodim Purim. Let's say I'm sending someone further away, right? I'm sending him before Purim. Yagil Lo B'Purim, and it reaches him on Purim. Im Yotze B'Zei, Yidei Mishloach Manos. Am I Yod to Mishloach Manos? I send it before Purim, and I reach him on Purim. So Yesh Mishiyom Adiyotza. The Ber Hativ says that one is Yotze if you send it before Purim. So practically speaking, you have a child in Eretz Yisrael, you mail them Mishloach Manos. They say the guaranteed delivery date, which as long as it's not the United States Post Office, might actually be worth something. It's guaranteed it's going to be delivered on Purim. According to the first Sa'ad, you're 100% Yotze. The Li Nira, the Aruch HaShulchan himself writes, the Lo Yotze. The Be'ina Mishloach Manos B'Purim Atzmo, you need to send it on Purim itself. V'yod, the Ikar Mishloach Manos, Avim Mishim Simcha, Be'ezah Simcha Yi Lo Atam, Mashashach B'Kodem. Part of Mishloach Manos is the Simcha you get by sending it. How are you going to get that if you did it ahead of time? And so it sounds like, according to the Aruch HaShulchan himself, that you do have to give up the Mishloach Manos on Purim Day. But he does bring this Ber Hativ, which says you could send it before, as long as it arrives on Purim Day. So Pashtus, according to the Ber Hativ, if the mitzvah Mishloach Manos is on the Yom HaPur, right? It's done with the Suda, he made Mishta the Simcha. So the Mishloach Manos, the mitzvah is to give on Mishloach Manos during the day. But what happens if I put it there by a person's doorstep, that the person will get it on the day of Purim? But I did it early in the morning. I did it late at night, the night of Purim. I send the shliach to give it. Look, if you send the shliach to give it, you know, I can send the shliach to give it on Purim too. I can hire somebody. It might also be a way to ease your Mishloach Manos. I should really tell Bachram they should start a business. You know, sukkah building is a good business, and cleaning people's cars for Pesach. What about this year, where there's so much Mishloach Manos, people want to deliver Mishloach Manos and sit down to the sukkah for 12 o'clock. So you know what? Maybe I should have a system. You should get Bachrim. Get people to deliver your Mishloach Manos for you. This way, chick-chock. You know, it's delivered. Or hire Robert, the UPS guy. Off hours, whatever it takes. Now, just one little ha'ara, which I was bothered by myself too. In Shmuel Kamenetsky's Sefer on Purim, Machaber, Daniel Asher Kleinman, is troubled by the Sarach HaShulchan. He says he doesn't understand. See, if I send something before Purim and it arrives to the person before Purim, okay, then I understand you're not doing the mitzvah Mishloach Manos on Purim. He understands the Aruch HaShulchan's idea. He says, Lamaisa, if you send it and it reaches the Mekabel on Purim itself, you know, why isn't that the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? Why can't I always just send it beforehand and I'll reach the person on Purim, get it on Purim? So he actually leaves off Tzarech Ian on the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, I'm not sure fully the Kasha, because the second reason the Aruch HaShulchan said is there's an element of Simcha in delivering the Mishloach Manos. It's not just you're excited that the person received the Mishloach Manos. There's something, again, I don't mean necessarily that you have to be the deliverer, but of sending something on Purim is a simcha when you send it. Ooh, they're going to be so happy when they see this. Oh, they're going to love my poem. I don't know if that's part of the Mishloach Manos now. But there's a certain simcha, so maybe that simcha has to be on the day of Purim itself. But definitely there is a sheet of the Be'er Heitev which says you could send it ahead of time as long as it reaches the person on Purim. So if a person is running out of time and realize, again, that the mitzvah Mishloach Manos is just to give to one person, so all the extra Mishloach Manos you give is, okay, extra. So maybe that people could send ahead of time this year, or the idea of having getting people to deliver on your behalf. This way you don't have to run around so much, you know, delivering Mishloach Manos on Purim. But either way, there are options and there are ways that we could get Purim done this year, even when Purim comes out on a Friday. Just like the end, you know, Purim is a day which is probably one of the happiest days of the year in the Purim community, in the Torah world. And it's exciting on so many levels. The kids are excited for their Mishloach Manos, and the adults are excited for their Suda, and all different aspects. And we should be careful this year. I think it's Kedai, you know, to balance everybody. Make sure that everyone's getting their simcha, their excitement from Purim. And, you know, I told that story not too long ago about David Feinstein, how some father wanted to ask David Feinstein a question in his by a Kiddush. And, you know, to him, the schus, the tainug, the enjoyment of being able to talk to the greatest poskim was something overwhelming. Here he has a chance to speak to Rabbi Feinstein, and his kid's there by the kiddush, and his kid has a piece of cake, and the father schleps the kid, come, let's go! And the kid's like, I want my piece of cake. The father says, don't worry, I'll give you a different piece of cake. And Rabbi David stops the father in his tracks. But your child wants that piece of cake. everyone wants their piece of cake on Purim. We have to make sure that Bez Hashem, everybody gets it. And the more we plan ahead this year before Purim hits us, the better we'll be to having really a day of Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful and Freilich week.